But it would
right
be
now.
A normal thing, right? A normal thing.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And the more or less, they said the glaciers or the snow caps, the ice, would come down around, in other words, in an ice age, they were saying that it comes down around the globe. And this doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have ice, you know, ice caps, you know, in Missouri, you know, when this happens. I mean, it might be rain, it might be water, you know, but we would have weather changes, noticeable weather changes when we got a little older.
But nobody
yeah,
was
I
blaming
remember it.
Nobody was blaming carbon monoxide gases on this.
No.
It's silly.
No, it's the silliest thing. And I try to tell people, and it is hard to find people who can remember that.
But what I love is the arrogance and the insanity of saying, well, you know, my VW Beetle is causing the ice caps to melt. No, I don't think your car is causing any ice caps to melt.
No, nor your aerosol deodorant or hairspray.
Now, I have two other quick questions for you, because you're in Kansas City, right?
Right.
Where do you get ribs?
Oh, well, let me think. I'm trying to think. Jack Stack Barbecue.
And isn't the Plaza at Christmas the most beautiful place in America?
It's real pretty, yeah. Real, real pretty.
I love Kansas City. And I used to have a girlfriend in Kansas City. And it was the best relationship I ever had, because I didn't live there. I lived in New York. But I worked all around the country. And there she was in Kansas City. It was brilliant. So there we could pick a weekend, we'd be together, and then she could go home and not bother me. It was brilliant. And then I got to see the Plaza at Christmas. It was great. Thank you so much for listening to Sterling on Sunday on KMBZ. It's 11 past the hour, and this is, it's time for a Midnight Misfits. If you have a Midnight Misfit membership card, when you look at it, you'll see it's a code, and you're able to decipher the code and know the secret message I'm about to give you. Are you ready for the secret message? Here we go. Neil Paul, here we go. Judy Anderson, here we go. Mary and Jewel Riley, Dee Wells, it's all for you. Billy Datz and your gorgeous wife. N-Z-U-Y-T. Decipher that. Here, I'll give it to you again. N-Z-U-Y-T. Y-T. All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to share the most bizarre ancient aliens from the History Channel that I have ever seen. Like, really bizarre. Like, wait a minute, this is some scam. It's 12 past the hour, Sterling on Sunday. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. That's your phone number, your direct line to the MyPillow company from Sterling on Sunday. I said to the geniuses at MyPillow, I said, you have to give every possible way for Sterling on Sunday listeners to contact you, because late on Sunday night, it isn't always easy. You can't always get on your computer. You could wake up half the house. Those screens are bright. But a phone call, discreetly in the car coming back from the third shift, going to the second shift, 800-844-0876 is the best way right now to order a MyPillow pillow, or to find out about any of the other great MyPillow products. They have everything from dogs and cat beds to amazing, brilliant, gorgeous Giza Dream Sheets, pillows, blankets. I love their products. And slippers. Oh, my gosh, the slippers. But the centerpiece of MyPillow is the pillow. 800-844-0876. Now, I've worked with the MyPillow people long enough so that they know that this show gets results for them. We get results for them in a way that other shows do not. Let me repeat that in a way that other shows cannot, because I have a unique relationship with you and you have a unique relationship with me. We're alone together in the car. We're alone together in the 18-wheeler. That's a unique situation. You trust me, and I trust you. 800-844-0876. You call that number, and you're going to find that the usually $69.99 pillow, the MyPillow pillow, is now for you $19.99. Instead of $69.99, they have brought the price down to $19.99 for you. 800-844-0876. I expect you to call it now, because a half hour from now, they may wake up, come to their senses, or in their case, come to. They may come to and go, whoa, we can't do this. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't care. What I know is that normally the MyPillow pillow is $69.99. Now it's $19.99. What's the big deal about this pillow? It's made in the USA. It is filled with a patented filling. It holds its shape. It stays cool. It smells great. And it's for you. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them now. Get the information. Order it for you. You'll get it in time for Thanksgiving. Enjoy your holiday. Sterling on Sunday.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
Given this great burden of saving our world from giant sand crabs.
The giant sand crabs will appear soon, but how could you, a theater kid with a 28-inch waist, save us all from giant sand crabs?
I can put my hand in the box of pain.
This isn't about Kardashians.
I've also kissed a psycho, allegedly, who wanted to actually eat me. Not in a funny way. Call me by your name? Those were pronoun challenges. So I can easily stop giant sand crabs.
When you sleep, Paul, what do you see?
I see Kristen Stewart marrying a hot blonde. She made the blonde get on one knee and beg for her hand in marriage. A vision. Let me check their wedding registry.
Wait, aren't you going to save our planet?
All right, we're driving in our 18-wheeler, you and me in the 18-wheeler, and it's the best time of day to be on the radio. There are people who fight and tell their agents to get the morning drive. Never. I never want to work in morning drive. I never want to get up at that hour. I never want to have to pretend to be happy. I don't have to want to give them any time checks. This is my time of day. This is the time of day. I don't believe that anything on the radio ever should be a best of. You know, if it's late at night on a Sunday and they're running best ofs, that's irresponsible. They should have their licenses taken away. I'm damn sure about that. Hi, how hard is it to put this show on the air? Not that hard. Live radio show. I'm on for 3 hours every Sunday night. Do we talk about politics? No. Why would we do that? Because all week, all during the week, there are people who are screaming at the Democrats. But this I found to be very interesting. I love the show Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Part of the reason, listen carefully, that I love the show Ancient Aliens on the History Channel is my dad worked at Bell Telephone Laboratories, which is like a temple among the ancient alien theorists. They believe that when aircraft UFOs came down, especially from Roswell, it was taken and secreted to places like Bell Telephone Laboratories, where there was reverse engineering. And my dad was actually responsible for going to Roswell and buying up as much land as he could. And that story is unbelievable. But I'll tell you more about that next week, where we're also going to talk about sitting on Stacy next week. More about that in seconds. But I'm watching Ancient Aliens, and I always see that show narrated by Robert Clotworthy. I always watch it with an open mind, because who knows? You don't know. But they did this episode where I'm like, wait a minute. Listen to this episode.
Ancient astronaut theorists David Childress and Michael Sala are at the Star Visitor Sanctuary on Hawaii's Big Island. With them is Gary Hoffeld, a member of the lawful Hawaiian government who was involved in the sanctuary's founding and helps to oversee the site.
So since you started this Star Visitor Sanctuary, has there been some unusual activities or incidents here, or things you've seen?
The day we set this up, just before it got dark, several people were sitting out here, and up in the distance on the hill up here, they said they saw light orbs come out of the lava flow right there above the ridge, come across the sky and do a little bit of a hula, and then off into the distance shot off. And I mean,
wow,
probably 30 people were here seeing it, and the next day the lava started flowing again.
So they felt this was a sign from the star visitors, that they were glad the star visitor
perhaps validation of what we're doing, perhaps coincidence. But I do believe that there's a portal hanging out in this particular area, opening to different places. And why not open here? Because we've opened a place to do it rather than someplace else.
We've set up a display. Therefore, this might be a good place for the star visitors to have a portal. We put some rocks on this plateau. That's all it is. Rocks on a plateau. And that's why the star visitors would come here with a stargate. And when we put up this little plateau of rock, the lights over there above the volcano did a hula, sort of saying hello to us. I'm like, what? The lights did a hula?
Ancient astronaut theorists David Childress and Michael Sala are at the Star Visitor Sanctuary on Hawaii's Big Island. With them is Gary Hoffeld, a member of the lawful Hawaiian government who was involved in the sanctuary's founding and helps to oversee the site.
So since you started this Star Visitor Sanctuary, has there been some unusual activities or incidents here, or things you've seen?
The day we set this up, just before it got dark, several people were sitting out here, and up in the distance on the hill up here, they said they saw light orbs come out of the lava flow right there above the ridge, come across the sky and do a little bit of a hula.
Did a little bit of a hula in the sky, and therefore welcoming this display. All right, what's the display? It's a flat rock with three or four very tiny rocks put in the middle of it, a big one, a littler one, and then a tiny one on top of it, and that's it. Go look at search the episode of Ancient Aliens Hawaii, Ancient Aliens Hawaii, and you'll see it's like a flat rock and then three little rocks on top of it. And this is the indicator of a stargate that brought ancient aliens to Hawaii hundreds of years ago. Oh, and my gosh. And then the volcano goes off. And I'm watching this episode. And usually when they go to places, you know, like Göbekli Tepe and the pyramids of Egypt, I learn something. It's interesting. They get into places other people don't get into. But in Hawaii, it was just a flat rock. And then they got into some lava caves below the volcanoes. There was no lava. There were no ancient aliens in the lava caves. There was no secret machinery in the lava caves. There were just caves. And one of the ancient alien theorists was there, David Childress, and another one who I'd never seen before. And then some official guy, did you hear what Clotworthy said, quote, of the lawful Hawaiian government. That means United States of America. The lawful Hawaiian government. He followed them around. He took them on a tour of Hawaii. Like, no, you know what this was? This was a scam to get the crew a vacation in Hawaii. There was nothing new discovered there. There was no evidence. We had never heard before that Hawaii was an ancient alien site. Had we ever heard about Hawaii being like Egypt? No, it was just a place to go on vacation. And maybe it was part of an archipelago of many other islands before the waters rose and swallowed it up.
Ancient astronaut theorists David Childress and Michael Sala are at the Star Visitor Sanctuary on Hawaii's Big Island. With them is Gary Hoffeld, a member of the lawful Hawaiian government who was involved in the sanctuary's founding and helps to oversee the site.
So since you started this Star Visitor Sanctuary, has there been some unusual activities or incidents here, or things you've seen?
The day we set this up, just before it got dark, several people were sitting out here, and up in the distance on the hill up here, they said they saw light orbs come out of the lava flow right there above the ridge, come across the sky and do a little bit of a hula, and then off into the distance.
A little bit of a hula.
And I mean, well, probably 30 people were here seeing it, and the next day the lava started flowing again.
So they felt this was a sign from the star visitors that they were glad the star visitor
perhaps validation of what we're doing, perhaps coincidence. But I do believe that there's a portal hanging out in this particular area, opening to different places. And why not open here? Because we've opened a place to do it rather than someplace else.
They've opened a reception desk. There's a welcome office for star visitors in this spot. Why in this spot? It's never explained why in that spot, except that because it's there now, everybody should understand it's a welcoming point for star visitors. How would we even communicate that? It's not like that those sad on the highways, on the superhighways between states, there are always welcome centers welcoming you into Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana. Those are the very saddest little office buildings. You go in there and they're sad little brochures that fit in your pocket, and usually the bathroom's locked and there are no vending machines, and there's one government employee who's been there 23 years who will answer all of your questions about West Virginia. To me, those are just the saddest things. Take them down. But what these clowns in Hawaii have done, they've said, okay, well, this rock slab is obviously a Stargate, and we're going to put three rocks on top of it, and it's obviously a Stargate, and all of the star visitors will recognize it as a Stargate. Wow. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. It's 28 past the hour, and you and I get to be together once a week for three giant hours. This is like a morning show at midnight. A morning show at midnight. That means that it can be entertaining. You don't have to play a best of at this time in order to be entertaining. You can actually make an entertaining show. What else do I have for you? Many of you have asked how my daughter is. My daughter's in college. She's a sophomore in college. Last year, she went through the hell of being homesick, away from home for the first time, and trapped in her dorm room because of quarantine. And then some idiot kid on her dorm room floor got COVID, and they had to move every kid out of her dorm room floor to another facility. In her case, they moved her to a hotel room, a Sheraton near the campus of Syracuse University. She goes in there, and after a week, she says, "You have to get me out of here. I'm going crazy." And she called the health services. "You got to get me out of here." And they moved her into a nice duplex on another part of the campus, in fact, where I had lived when I went to Syracuse University. But it was hell. I don't know how she ever got to her sophomore year. I don't know how she managed to get the grades. But she did. One of her courses then and now is ballet. How you do ballet in a pandemic, I don't know. But we went to visit her this weekend, and she is doing great. She got herself a position as an executive producer of their campus closed-circuit television station. She got herself into a sorority, and she is finding her life as an adult. She's a happy girl, and I'm so proud of her. I am so proud of my Dorothy Sterling for finding her place at a big university, which is not easy to do. I've got more for you, including a cop story coming up in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Our famous ammonia fountain.
Sterling every night, weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. More rain on tap for the Pacific Northwest and Northern California for the next few days. Good news for those drought-stricken areas. 3 to 5 inches will fall in Seattle, 2 to 3 inches in Portland, Oregon, and an inch or two in San Francisco, and about a half inch to an inch in Sacramento. Now, this system and an associated cold front out of Canada will produce a very strong storm to brew ahead of Veterans Day, turning weather from quiet, sunny, and mild to wild and wintry by Wednesday across the northern plains of the Dakotas into Minnesota and the western Great Lakes, with first rain, then turning colder and very windy with near blizzard conditions by Veterans Day on Thursday for the northern tier of states. And this system will move to the northeast and New England by next weekend. Otherwise, some very nice weather for the next couple days in the northeast and then turning colder by midweek. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling All Night.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. This week's story is about famous NYPD hangouts. So NYPD cops, like everyone else, like to kick back after a long work day and enjoy a few drinks. In the late 80s and early 90s, the Bronx and northern Manhattan were filled with cop bars. In the 3-4 precinct, you had Coogan's Bar on Broadway that sat across from Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where you could find cops and nurses trading war stories after work. In Spanish Harlem, up the block from the 2-5 precinct, was Rags. It was a small but noisy bar where every couple of seconds you had a pause as the lumbering train overhead would come roaring by. Now, in the Bronx, there was a couple of really cool places to hang out. Right next to the 5-0 precinct sat Pauline's. Pauline's was an interesting place because on Thursday nights, what they would do is cops could bring their checks in there. This is before direct deposit, and they could cash their check, provided they sat down and had a drink or got something to eat. Now, across the street from the 5-2 precinct on Webster Avenue, you had French Charlie's. Now, French Charlie's was a great place, too, because French Charlie's had live music and huge bouncers that would throw out neighborhood drunks if they got too unruly, and the cops didn't have to get involved. French Charlie's also had a sawdust floor, so if anyone had an accident, like vomited or spilled their drink, it could be cleaned up within seconds and no one was sliding around on the floor. In the back of French Charlie's, you had one of those old bowling games where you'd have neighborhood hustlers trying to cheat you out of beer money. Saving the best for last was Star Wars. Star Wars was a filthy, dingy place that sat in the belly of the beast of the South Bronx. What was unique, for the most part, were on their best behavior. If anybody got out of line there, it was unusual, and they were dealt with and thrown out accordingly. Above the bar at Star Wars was a large moose head riddled with bullet holes that no one ever seemed to want to take credit for. All these places are long gone now, but I just figured I'd sit back and reminisce. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
You know how you know he's a real New York cop? He said one thing. He said it was okay if you, as long as you came in, sat down, ordered a drink, and had something to eat. New York City is the only city that requires every place that serves alcohol to serve food and something to eat. That's how I know he was a real New York City cop. Now, we have to get him in here. He just came out with a new book, right? Vic Ferrari. We have to get him in here and talk for a half hour and tell us a whole bunch of stories. I love his stories, and I get the best feedback of anything we put on this show on his stories. And I am so grateful to him for a number of reasons. First of all, he's willing to share these great New York City cop stories. Secondly, he always submits his information on time. He always submits it on Thursday. Gives me time to preview it and to enjoy it. And I thank you, Vic Ferrari. What a pro. What a great guy. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday, and I've got two other things. That SpaceX is the U.S., French, and Japanese astronauts are supposed to leave the International Space Station Sunday with their capsule splashing down in the Gulf of Mexico on Monday morning. They will now depart on Monday. High winds delay the SpaceX crew after 6 months in orbit. However, The capsule's toilet is broken, leaving all four astronauts in diapers. On SpaceX, the toilet is broken. And if anything is going to make them feel at home, it's the broken toilet. The biggest, when I first learned about the space station and people going up to the space station, every report explained how the toilet was going to work, because it seemed that that was the key interest that we had. The U.S. space station, the part of the space station that's the U.S., is a very complicated toilet. The Russian part of the space station, they pretty much just go in an open bucket. Ours, very complicated, and therefore it's broken. They're wearing diapers. I just admire the fact that somebody thought, you know, that toilet might not work. We better put some diapers in there. How many diapers do they have in there? How long are they going to be able to go like this? We have three bathrooms in the Sterling household. One of them, the toilet, is broken. One of them, the toilet's usually broken. I blame this on the fact that I have three daughters and a wife. There's no other guy in the house with me. We have two female cats, three daughters, and a wife. That toilet's going to be broken on a predictable basis. And then, the only good thing about not living in New York City for me is I don't have to pay for a New York City plumber, which charges $100 per 15 minutes cash on the spot. That is the best career in America. Where I live now, it's like, you know, a Craigslist ad for $10, and they'll come and snake your toilet. But, oh, my God, what it used to cost me in toilets in Manhattan was beyond insane. Beyond insane. I have something else for you. Oh, where'd it go? That's weird. Where did it go? Mm-hmm. All right. This is Sterling on Sunday. The best gift is a gift that everybody uses and nobody's happy with. It's a gift that everybody needs, but nobody's happy with their version of it. That's a pillow. Think about your pillow. Your pillows get flat. They smell weird. You can't really wash them. Who knows where they were made? I have the solution. The solution is a MyPillow brand pillow. A MyPillow brand pillow. What's special about it? They're made in the United States of America. These are American products. They are filled with a very unique patented filling. They smell great. You can wash them as often as you want. They hold their shape all night and they stay cool. What else would you want? MyPillow brand pillows. And you can get them in two different types. You can get a normal one and you can get a premium one. Go to MyPillow.com, click the center square, put in my name, Walter, and you will get the bargain instantly.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You're not going to find her on the Great American Bake Off. Her name is Chef Emily Nagan. And Chef Emily Nagan specializes in one thing, CBD-infused products. CBD is the ingredient in marijuana plants, but it won't get you high. It helps you relax. CBD products made by GetSomeClarity.com. You will find all of their great products, their teas, which are magnificent, their brownies, their cookies. You will love these products, CBD products that are made to help you relax. Go to GetSomeClarity.com, put in the promo code Walter, and you will get an immediate discount, and I will get credit for my hard work. CBD brownies, cookies, teas, everything you could imagine, made by Emily Nagan. GetSomeClarity.com, put in the promo code Walter, and see the discounts instantly before your eyes.
Inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
The burden of saving our world from giant sand crabs.
The giant sand crabs will appear soon, but how could you, a theater kid with a 28-inch waist, save us all from giant sand crabs?
I can put my hand in the box of pain.
This isn't about Kardashians.
I've also kissed a psycho, allegedly, who wanted to actually eat me. Not in a funny way. Call me by your name? Those were pronoun challenges. so I can easily stop giant sand crabs.
When you sleep, Paul, what do you see?
I see Kristen Stewart marrying a hot blonde. She made the blonde get on one knee and beg for her hand in marriage. A vision. Let me check their wedding registry.
Wait, aren't you going to save our planet?
All right, I want you to imagine this. You wake up one morning and you think this to yourself. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to take off all of my clothes. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to find the biggest theater in town, a huge theatrical vaudeville house. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to go to the men's room, and there'll be a crawl space. I will go into the crawl space naked and get trapped behind the wall. And that's what a man in Syracuse did. That is exactly what he did. Syracuse firefighters responded to the Landmark Theater on Friday morning after an employee heard the man yelling for help and called 911. Syracuse Fire Chief John Kane. The unidentified 39-year-old man got into the building Tuesday and managed to get into a crawl space. He stayed there for 2 days before he fell into a space in the wall of the men's bathroom and became trapped. He only wanted to come out to get Taco Bell. Tens of thousands, and that was it. He got stuck in this wall. So what they did is firefighters on Friday drilled a hole in the wall and used fiber optic cameras to find his location. They cut through several layers of drywall and structural clay tile to free the man. The man was taken to a hospital for evaluation. Oh, no need for that. You're insane. You're freaking insane. Kane, the fire chief, said he had no visible injuries, but was probably suffering from dehydration and being insane. A message was sent to Syracuse police Saturday seeking an update on his condition by this newspaper. The man had been seen wandering around the theater. It's listed on the United States Park Service Registry of Historical Places. Early in the week, its executive director said, he said employees lost track of the man and thought he had left the building. Well, wait. The fire department came and took him out of a hole in the wall. And then the employees thought, oh, gee, he just walked home. He was naked. He was out of his mind crazy. He went into a crawl space in the men's room of a Landmark Theater, one of those grand vaudeville houses with the incredible appliques and frescoes. It's an incredible theater. And he decided to go for a walk into the crawl space. What happens in your brain that you think that walking naked out of your house, going into a Landmark Theater, crawling into a crawl space and getting trapped in a wall, what part of your brain thinks that that is a solution? You see, he thought that was a solution to whatever imaginary problems he had, starting with the fact that he left the house naked. How does this happen? How does this happen? Look at all the Florida stories that James Parker does. At some point earlier in the day on the Florida stories, somebody decided that what they were going to do was necessary and important and was not going to wind them up on Florida stories, but there it is. This is who we are. Now, you see the SpaceX guys, they've been stuck up there for 6 months. And now they're in diapers. Usually when you hit a certain point, like 40, 45, you have no more diapers. You're done with the diapers. These guys went into space, and now they're wearing diapers. There's a lot of talk about the thrill of going to Mars. I can't think of anything worse. Because everybody says it's a one-way trip. No, that'd be like going to Buffalo. Why want to take a one-way trip on a bumpy ride? It'd be like going to Buffalo. There used to be an airline called Mohawk Airlines. Mohawk Airlines served the worst part of America, upstate New York, Vermont. And every single flight was boom, boom, boom. The bumps were insane. Mohawk Airlines, which was then replaced with People Express and Kiwi. And who runs those routes now? It's just a horrible thing. There's a theory that we seek the adventure of going up in SpaceX. We want to explore the newness of Mars. We want to be part of something exciting and new. I don't think that's what it is at all. I think there is a overwhelming drive in every human being to die, that there's a death wish in most of us. And the terror, the horror of realizing you can bring that closer and faster in a race car, a parachute, a rocket ship to Mars is part of the human imperative. It's what we crave. It's what we desire. We do anything to be that scared. When that rocket takes off, you're telling me William Shatner wasn't scared out of his mind? They were all scared. And it's a question of how much risk you want to take. But there they are going to Mars. It's, you know, and every Mars movie never ends well. Every movie about going to Mars, do any of them end well? They never end well. It's always a one-way trip to Mars. But I think that's what we seek. It's not the thrill of exploring Mars. We know what's on Mars. Nothing. We've had a rover of some sort on Mars for over 20 years. What has it found? Rocks. And then what did it find over here? Red rocks. And what's over here? Water might be in the rocks, not sure. Oh, gee, on that rover, we didn't have the stuff to analyze the rocks. That's my favorite. When NASA says, well, we think we found some rocks that might contain water, but that particular rover doesn't have the equipment to test it. I mean, you don't have the equipment. The reason you went there was to find water. How can you not test it? How come it didn't occur to you to stick the extra attachment on it like a KitchenAid blender? Those secret bizarre attachments that you put on the front of a KitchenAid blender that nobody knows how to use. Why didn't you put those attachments on the front of the Mars rover? Why don't you do that? But instead, every time they find something interesting, they say, well, you know, we don't have it on that probe to do that analysis of those type of rocks. We're going to have to send up another probe. Oh, not in our lifetimes, my friend. We're not going to find anything there. And so you send the human beings up there, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to either fry to death because they won't get out of the sun in time, or they'll freeze to death because they won't get inside the space area in time, or they'll starve to death because they miscalculated how many kind bars they would need. That's what's going to happen. Therefore, and since everybody intellectually knows that's what's going to happen, why are we going? We're going to be scared out of our minds. That's why we go on roller coasters, not me, Ferris wheels, not me. And would every city in America, Chicago, New York, would they stop with the Ferris wheels? There's now one on Times Square. We got enough going on Times Square. We don't need a Ferris wheel. There's no need for Ferris wheels. Always seemed like a bad idea to me. London had one. That's enough for the planet. You don't need any. London's got one. They know how to do it right. That's it. But I believe that's why we do this exploration, because we don't find anything that we couldn't find with a robot. We have found a great deal with the robots on Mars, on the moon, great deal with the robots. But once we went to the moon, we went, oh, we're humans. We've been here. There's nothing here. And we never went back. For 50 years, we never went back. We still haven't gone back because, oh, there are rocks here. We found all that we needed to find, rocks. Listen, here's your homework. I got homework for you. I want you to look for videos. Look for videos by a rock band called Sitting on Stacy. Sitting on Stacy. Sitting on Stacy. Next week, we're going to have the lead singer on Sterling on Sunday. And this kid has the life. Southern California, amazing hair, rock band, great, great freaking songs. Same manager as Blink 182 used to have. I can't wait to talk to him. So please do a little homework. Look at just one of their videos, just half of the video, and I think you will see why I was so thrilled to get in touch with the band called Sitting on Stacy. Sitting on Stacy. It's great music. But that kid, that lead singer, whoa, the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.